Today we observe the Lord's
Supper. We try to do that once a month. We do it because it's an ordinance established by our Lord. It reminds us of the covenant in which Christians have entered. I'd like to speak for a moment about covenants today. Believe it or not, it's been 2 weeks since the wedding that was held here. And my part in that wedding was to speak about covenants. I'd like to review that and make the application for a soul's salvation. Very important topic, covenant. The Old Testament and the New Testament, two divisions of the Bible. Another word for testament is covenant. Covenant is different than a contract. But everybody here who has been born again has entered into a covenant with God. Let's clarify the difference between a covenant and a contract. Most here are familiar with contracts. Let's talk about four elements, differences between the two. The first one, again, is time. There's a difference between the length of time in which a contract is normally effective and that of a covenant. In a contract, it's a limited time, usually. Could be for 6 months, could be for 1 year, could be for 5 or 10 years, but there is a limit. There's a start and finish time for when a contract is in effect. But not so with a covenant. Covenant is unending. It has no end gate. It continues forever. If you have entered into a covenant with God, God says, that which I have committed to you, I never stop doing. He that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, meaning the day when it all ends, Jesus Christ comes back. He will not stop it. I will never leave you, he says. I will never forsake you. Concerning his disciples, and having loved them, he loved them to the end. Very encouraging thing, isn't it? You've entered into a covenant with God that has no end gate. The time is unending. It is eternal. Second feature is the intent. In a contract, the intent is generally for one to protect his own self-interests. Nothing wrong with that, but that's why we enter into contract. We investigate it, we go through the principles, we decide whether or not this will safeguard my interests. But a covenant is just the opposite. The intent of a covenant is to bless the other party. You enter into a covenant for what it can do for the other party. When God entered into a covenant for us, he did not need anything from us. But we read in Ephesians 1 and verse 3 that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Great blessings are bestowed upon us, and this gives the Father much happiness. So the time is different. The intent is different. And then thirdly, the motive is different. There are different motives for why a person enters into a contract. Might be a matter of financial security, might be a matter of clarity, defining this, agreeing on that. But the motive of a covenant is love. It is love that drives a person to enter into a covenant. Lovingly wants to see the other party benefited, and that eternally. The motive is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Friends, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. But we must understand this. We've entered into a covenant relationship with God. It's never going to end. It's eternal. The intent is blessing, and the motive behind it is love. God loves us. But perhaps the most unusual element of the covenant is it has no conditions. The distinction between a covenant and a contract is a covenant is unconditional. When we have conditions, say in a contract, we say, you must follow these stipulations, I agree to these, And if one breaks the contractual agreement, then the whole thing's off. Or there are penalties. There are consequences. But when God entered into a covenant with us, He did not say, now this is going to hold as long as you honor these certain elements. You break those, it's off. No, when the Lord entered into a covenant with us, it was unconditional. We didn't have to clean up our act first. We couldn't have had this or that in our history or this or that in our future. He's loved us with an everlasting love regardless of our performance, regardless of our history, regardless of our attributes. He chooses to set His love on a party of people. And what He sets His love on, He never takes it off. Unconditional. Now, when a person enters into a covenant relationship with another person, these four principles apply there. Time, this is for good. Intent, to bless the other party. Motive, love. Conditions, none. I pledge, whether this or that happens, this or that, these various things, I will love you. Same is true only in its purest and most perfect form in the covenant relationship we have with God. Anybody here who has received Christ as Savior is in a covenanting relationship with God. God says, we're in this forever. There's no end gate. God says, here's a means that you will be blessed and that makes me happy. God says, I do this because I love you. And God says, there's nothing you can do. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a wonderful thing to realize how secure, just what we've entered into, we have this relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We gather here when we have the Lord's table to remind us of the covenant. There's the bread and there's the wine. The bread typifies the relationship that we have with Christ. He is the bread of life. He is to our souls what bread is to our bodies. All our soul needs we find in Christ. Christ is all and in all, we say. And so we sing songs of love and adoration and gratitude to Him in that portion of the Lord's Supper. Then the wine, fruit of the vine, color of blood, reminds us of the price that Christ paid to purchase us. He became sin, who knew no sin. God made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it's a time of rejoicing, and it's a time of sobriety. It's a time of fellowship. So what we're going to do is follow the scriptural guidelines. First of all, confessing our sin, and then observing the elements. Let's pray. We thank You, Father, for the clarity of the Scriptures and explaining the relationship that any soul can have with God. We've all sinned. The wages of sin is death. Christ died for us. Those who believe this and receive Christ as their Savior are reconciled to God and have entered into a covenant which shall never end, which brings unending blessings, which is driven by love, compelling a God to lay no conditions on His continuing to perform it. We thank You for this and ask that Thy Holy Spirit would lead us now into true and spiritual worship. In Christ's name, amen. Now we turn to the Bible, 1 Corinthians and chapter 11. This is such an important event. We want to go into it with the right heart. And Paul rebuked the church in Corinth in that they did not have the right heart as a group as they were observing the Lord's table. And he said, for this reason, many are sick and some are dead. And so let a man examine himself. 1 Corinthians 11:28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup.